there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 159, May 23rd, 2006. We're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Ruston, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. And a little bit later, Susie Barnes is going to join us with Susie Homemaker, I believe she calls it. The host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey there, Mr. Tom. What are you doing, man?
Oh, man, I have no idea. Patterson didn't make it, did he?
Did not make it.
He did not make
that.
It.
On
so
assignment.
He's on assignment today.
Yeah.
He'll be back next week, hopefully. My name is Tom Houston, but here he is, folks. Here's the man of the hour, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. I give you Phil Farr.
Get down. The man of the hour. The man of the hour.
The man of the hour.
Well, you're obviously on the phone. You're either on the phone or we've got a real cheap microphone.
I'm on the telephone.
It could be some of both. We never know here. So you're
on the telephone.
You're on the phone, and Susie's going to be on the phone, so this is a big test for us. Here we're going to. This will be the first time that we've ever had two people on two different lines at the same time. Let's make sure you can hear this.
Is this going to be the first time?
This will be the first time. Let's see if you can hear this dial tone here. Let me see this here. This will be Susie's line.
There it is.
So that's the line she'll be on, and we're waiting her call, and I assume that she will call in. I wish Pat was here. Pat and I were sitting side by side at two machines in Kinder, Louisiana.
Okay.
And Kinder is an Indian reservation. The
Alabama Cachada.
No, it didn't. That's the ones in Texas that they won't let have a gun.
That's the ones down in Woodville, I think.
Yeah, so they've added a cigarette tax to fund our schools.
They have,
that's real think bright. You know, we spent $15 million to decide to add a buck a carton or a buck a pack to cigarettes.
Dollar a pack.
Yeah. Well, my wife is funding the schools now.
Your wife is helping education.
In September, she will be.
Cleta May Vick, education assistant.
That's right.
I pass that along to her.
Yeah.
And so we went over to Kashana. What the hell is those Indians' name? That's their... They're Kinder. The city is Kinder, and the Indians are called the Minimum Income.
No.
Anyway, we're sitting at this machine, and Pat said, "So, a great inventor in the past says, listen, I'll tell you what I got. I got this machine, and what you do is sit there and put money in it, and it doesn't give you any money back, and it gives you a lot of little bananas and fruit and stuff popping around on the screen, and you just sit there and put money in it."
Yeah.
And the guy said, listen, I think I'll talk to Henry Ford. He's got something that looks better than that. Now, what dumbass would... Who would do that?
A lot of folks do that on a daily basis.
There's always a chance.
Always a chance.
You may win a little something.
Yet there we were, putting money in hopes of winning. Well, I had a deal. One machine gave away $5,000 in a Harley, and I thought, gee, what a hero I'd be if I won a Harley for Luann.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a
deal? Well, that would be neat.
Oh, she'd love it.
Oh, sure.
That'd be great.
She would have been in hog heaven, her and that new car and that Harley.
Well, she's bought another new car now.
Yeah, two new cars.
But she bought her a convertible now. She's traded her Nissan in for a convertible. I'm just not going to ride in. I'm going to boycott it. They're dangerous. I don't like them. I'm not riding them.
The Nissan is history, isn't
it? What scares you about them? The fact that it's a convertible?
If they flipped, you'd just be your head against a...
Well, that's right.
You know,
it'd be the end of the line.
I guess you could wear a helmet. I don't.
Yeah, a motorcycle helmet.
Doesn't sound like fun to me. I'm not sure how the rest of it.
I think that would be quite a sight to see somebody going down the street in a convertible with helmets on.
Well, that's what I'll do if I have to ride in it.
Yeah, wearing a helmet.
All right. Well,
what a deal.
Anyway, she'll bring that home, then you'll miss it. You'll get to see it next week, I guess.
We see, speaking of riding around and things, we see a lot of four-wheelers out here.
Yeah.
And these kids, I'm telling you, they it seems like they're doing 100 miles an hour. Of course they're not.
Yeah.
But they have no helmets on or anything, and they'll hit this little dirt road right around the corner from me and fly that thing sideways and everything else, and I just keep expecting... just at any time for their head to hit the gravel, you know.
Well, if you wait long enough, it will.
Yeah, it'll happen sooner or later.
And, I certainly hope it doesn't, but it's bound to happen sooner or later.
Got to.
Those things are dangerous. There's no question about that.
And you know that the Pattersons have two of them.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen them at their home, yes.
Yeah, they have two of them, but they make everybody wear helmets. Pat said he looked out there the other day, and the kids were going in opposite directions on the two four-wheelers. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Kids don't know.
The big, heavy danger, I mean, they both, one flips or rolls, and you're
hurt. That's right.
I've only seen one near miss out here. This big fella was on one, and he hit the gravel road,
mm-hmm.
and it slid sideways, and he overcorrected.
Yeah.
And I just knew he was going to hit a tree, but he didn't. He lucked up.
Yeah, they're dangerous. We didn't have things like that. Now, as a kid, we had wonderful toys like Tops that spun. You put it down on the floor,
yes.
And you could take your hand.
I remember those. I used to buy Cracker Jacks to get one.
You could take your hand and spin it, and it would do a magic thing. It would whistle. Remember those whistling?
Right. I remember those.
Yep.
Yeah.
Spinning Tops. Yep. Now, there was some of the fun toys, or we had blocks, yo-yos.
Yeah.
Things of that nature when I was a kid.
Nintendo.
Yeah.
No. What do you think is the most dangerous, the three-wheeler or the four-wheeler?
I have no idea.
Oh, the three-wheeler.
I think the three-wheeler is, too.
That's why they kind of quit making them and went to the four-wheeler. The three-wheelers could flip even easier.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They were pretty dangerous.
A three-wheeler. I never saw one.
Well, it looks like just a three-wheel motorcycle or something, but...
Yeah.
You know, it won't run near as fast.
Just the older four-wheeler. They started at Mary's. My wife's brother had a three-wheeler back before they were really into four-wheelers. And it was a Honda. It was a nice machine, but it was easy to flip.
Yeah. Well, enough Cletus funding education, and we're knocking the children. People are out there saying, I wish they'd talk about something. Anyway, you have some list mail you do, you Tommy?
I do. I have a little bit here. Does anyone have an opinion on which is the best compound miter saw to buy for vision-impaired furniture makers? Currently, I'm using a Makita with a 300-millimeter diameter blade.
Well,
not the most user-friendly saw. This is from Andrew.
A Makita sounds like a deal to me now.
I always thought a Makita was a good brand.
Yeah, sounds like a good start there.
One response to that, and they said, I don't know how big a 305-millimeter diameter blade is.
Yeah.
I know one post from one fellow, and I didn't copy it and paste it or anything.
Yeah.
But he said his blade was just a 10-inch blade, so it must be bigger. And this was it Australia? It seems like it was. The guy this Andrew White fella. It may have been.
Mine is a 10 or 12, Don. Which one?
Yours is a 12. Mine's a 10. Yours is a 12. And it's the only comment I would have on that would be an electric miter buck saw versus one of those, that you did by hand. But,
yeah.
I think all of them are, Makita, I don't think, that's a fine brand. The Sears Craftsman makes a good, I don't know, they're all pretty blind friendly to me.
I don't know that one would be any more blind friendly than the other. I mean, it's a saw that you set the angle on and you unless it had braille on the angle.
So I don't know if some of them do more angles, I thought they were all basically kind of pretty much the same. I know my Sears Craftsman, though, won't. Of course, it'll do all the side-by-side angles when you turn the table part of it.
Yeah.
But if you turn the motor to do the angle cut,
yeah.
Now mine doesn't have any locks or any way to tell what angle you're at other than using, like, a block or something.
In other words, if you lift the motor and turn it sideways.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you move it around, there's a catch at 22.5,
yep,
and a catch between those and 45, and then there's a little notch at 45.
Yep.
That's there. Hey, listen, we have someone else here. Hi, Susie.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. Can you hear Susie, Tom?
I sure can. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Don. I mean, Tom.
Uh-huh.
That's all right. I've been called worse.
Tom, is
I changed it real quick. I knew it was Tom.
Tom is at his house, and he's calling in, and you're at your house, so we have two phone lines going here at once. Is that amazing? How do they do that?
That's just absolutely
amazing.
It is. A first.
Amazing. A first.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're reading list mail. You want to just hold for a minute?
I can just hold.
All right, we'll just leave you here. If you have a comment, we'll feel free to make it. You're up in the mix here.
Okay.
All right, Tommy.
Okay, here's a guy that's looking into one of those robotic lawnmowers.
Yeah.
He says, I think that would be a great solution for someone to get the task of mowing the lawn down and do a better job than me. While I don't have any grass to mow yet, it is growing, Anyone have any experience with a robotic lawnmower?
Well, never seen one.
Sounds like my kind of lawnmower. I sit on the porch, drink a beer, and let the lawnmower do its little thing out in the yard. But
how do it know?
Well,
where to cut? Don't you put a wire around?
It's got a wire, a wire perimeter.
Yeah.
That you run, and supposedly, you know, it's kind of like your watchdog. Supposedly,
it
won't cross the line.
I think they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I read one post that said about $1,500.
Yeah.
And since I paid like $150 for our little push mower, that's a lot of money to me.
Oh, that's a lot. I think they're rechargeable. Some of them, you know, are you know, you plug in to recharge, and I've heard some of them are rechargeable, like the sun. They have a solar cell on them that can recharge the battery. And
so you simply tell it to mow the lawn and turn it on, and it does it.
And supposedly it goes around your yard. And
I guess it just follows this wire, huh?
Yeah, or has different paths that it goes between the wires, between the perimeter wires that you have. Now, yeah, I don't have a clue how it keeps from missing, like, places in your
So if we had
yard,
somebody, if we had somebody who'd had one and who knew anything about them, we need you to email us. That Hotmail address doesn't work anymore. I guess
the Hotmail address is not any good. But if somebody has one and wants to talk to us on the show about that, I'm always looking for a guest. And if you would send your contact number to my personal email address, which is N5GBI, that's like November 5, Great Big Indian, at Cox.net.
Great Big Indian.
N5GBI.
Call you and talk to you about it.
Cox.net.
Yep.
We'll call you and talk to you about it on the show, because I've never seen one. I know nothing about them.
I've got a response I could read from someone who has had some experience
with
it.
Well, just get with it.
He said, I had one of the original robo-mowers a few years ago, and it worked pretty well. My problem is my dogs dig a lot of holes in the backyard.
Yep.
And the mower would get stopped there, and even though the engine is supposed to shut off when that happens, I burned out two engines before I gave up.
Not good.
If you have a fairly flat lawn, it would probably work great, and I'm sure by now they have the problems worked out. You do have to do some wiring, laying down wire for the perimeter. That came from Bill Holton.
From Bill who?
Holton.
I've never heard of him. I didn't even know he was on the list.
H-O-L-T-O-N.
We may need to harvest his address from the list and...
Yeah.
Give him a call if he said burn out two engines. Maybe he wouldn't be the one to call.
Maybe that's not a good sign.
No.
So much for burn rope two engines.
Did you read Dale Evans' response?
No. Do you have that, Houston?
No, I don't. I do know that he said it they cost around $1,500.
Does he have one?
No, but he said that he wouldn't want to take yard mowing away from his wife. His wife mows the yard.
What a deal.
Well, no, I can understand that. You don't want to deny your wife.
Well, that keeps her in good shape, too.
Well,
you know.
He said he sharpened the blades.
At least he could do.
Yeah, probably on the push mower. It's probably one of those you push by hand. That
Well, his wife's as blind as we are. So.
I know, but she mows the yard.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
And boy, that's different.
He hasn't bothered to learn it, so... So he hasn't bothered to learn the yard, so he doesn't have to mow, I guess.
No, he does all the flowers and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
They have just a huge amount of flowers in their yard. And then they do flowers below the wall around their yard, which is actually between their property and the sidewalk that belongs to the city.
See, you wouldn't think that because they live in Canada where it is really cold.
Yeah, I know. They just have an enormous amount of flowers.
Their growing season must really be short, though, for that kind of thing.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Well, but then the lawn mowing season would also be short when you think about it.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's day 11. We probably need to... what a character he is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what else, Tommy? You got anything else?
That's about it.
That's it.
From Burke, Texas, yeah.
From beautiful Burke, Texas.
Hey, speaking of yard work.
So you're going to go, and you're going to just leave us. Patterson, Susie Patterson's not here.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And Tom's in Burke, so it's just me and Don Shaw. So
we were
almost out of beer anyway, so I'm glad they didn't come. But the thing, we were going to have to go across, and so but I had enough for me and Shaw. But we'll let you go, and we'll move on, I guess, and take a break and come back to Susie in just a minute.
Talk to you later.
Will that work for everybody?
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate you, and we'll hopefully you can try to make it next Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll try our best.
Boy, it's hard to get a quorum together anymore, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
All right, our guest is Susie Homemakers, our own Susie Barnes. We're going to visit with her in a minute about doing things around the house, washing dishes and clothes and all kinds of things. She knows all about that. And so we'll do that in just a minute on more of the Blind Handyman Show. I'm Phil Farlong with Don Shaw. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Among the things you do each day is one for trying. Give it all and give again and find replying. That new morning star high on your heart's horizon. Forget over so much to see.
Are you on the blind like me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the blind like me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that blind like me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the blind like me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the blind like me list because I'm the moderator and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the blind like me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
And we spoke with Dale Campbell, of course, the proprietor of Blind My Smart, and he says that they're having a big Father's Day sale and big specials, especially on things like Blind Handyman T-shirts and Blind Handyman caps.
All right.
We're overloaded with those. They have a lot of them, and they need to move them out, and so they're making big special prices. He was supposed to email me some prices, but he didn't do that. But anyway, specials on Blind Handyman T-shirts and caps, and also those, he has a shirt that says, "Too much sex causes blindness." And
yeah.
If you have the nerve to wear a shirt like that,
that's the deal.
You could order one of those, or you could order the other shirt that has, it's the Blind Rifleman's Association.
That's right.
T-shirt. You could order that. He has those on special. Anyway, big specials for Father's Day. Give Dale a call, and for God's sake, tell him we sent you. Please. Thank you.
And always good prices at Blind My Smart.
Blind My Smart. com. Susie.
That's right.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That's good. You didn't work today, did you?
Yes,
you
did. I did.
This is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so you work on Tuesdays.
I work on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
So all the people know when to come by and burgle your home.
Yeah.
Criminals are in Knoxville, know when to come by and pick up on what little you have, your Braille note or whatever they own.
Yeah.
You don't have one. You don't have a Braille note.
I don't have a Braille note.
Okay. Listen, I want to ask you a question before we get started.
Sure.
When you when you're handed a bag of potato chips,
yes,
and you're thinking, "Damn, I don't need to eat these because I don't want to eat them because they're just nasty," but I'm going to eat a few anyway. How do you open them? Physically.
from the top, I take the sides of the bag about midway
uh-huh.
the top.
Uh-huh.
And, well, there's a seam running down.
Okay.
And I pull at that side and then on the other.
That's exactly what I do. I pull out on each side
mm-hmm.
and I
pull
do
them,
it the
pull
same
them apart.
Mm-hmm. Pull them apart.
Pull
yep.
them apart because what you want to do is separate the top, which is glued. There's a little glue
right.
strip
yep.
at the top.
And from the center.
And it keeps it smooth, no rips,
yeah.
so hopefully.
How did you know how to do that? I mean, did you just intuitively figure that out?
For me, I don't know. I just have always done it like that.
I have no clue.
It's a no-brainer.
Probably, my dad ran a little country store when I was five, from the time I was 5 to 10. And I don't know if I learned then by just watching or what.
Yeah, because you had some sight then.
Yeah, I had perfect vision until I was 7.
Really?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so you don't count. I mean, you count, but anyway, I always.
Well, I count.
I used to try to take the corner of the bag and rip the top off, and somebody showed me when I was long since an adult
uh-huh.
how to just take those things and pull them apart. And a lot of bags now have a little seam across the top,
right?
That if you grab above this seam and below it, you can just rip the top.
Yep.
Quarter of an inch yep. off the bag.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of things now have a, like a Ziploc bag, have that kind of
yeah.
closure
yep.
that you close back up.
Love.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. A lot of things, seasonings and things, even from Sam's, I've seen a lot of things now come in that type of bag, which is good. I mean, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Especially bag. Stuff that you're going to put back in the freezer a lot of times, like if you buy a bag of egg rolls, it may have them, so you can open it and... And the best way to do those is just take a pair of scissors.
Right.
And very gently line them up very straight and cut across above that Ziploc thing.
Right.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And then you can open it Ziploc, usually from the top side, and not pull it apart like a potato chip bag, but get above the Ziploc.
Right.
And open it in about the middle, and then you can zip it back up and let the air out and put it in the,
mm-hmm.
in the
and
freezer.
And the big thing is always... about the time that you get it closed is to mash all the air out of it.
Yeah.
And I bought some, they're called craisins the other day. It's a cross between raisins and cranberries, I reckon.
Really?
They're pretty good. But they come in a bag that has this kind of rounded bottom, and they stand up.
I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it had one of those closures, so I just took a pair of scissors. I always keep a pair of scissors in the kitchen drawer and just cut across that top above that, and then that made it real easy to, you know, open and close.
And it's one of those bags that you can just sit down, set it on the table, and it'll stand up.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, more and more you see those.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, as a blind person, you a lot of you might think, well, I can't cut straight with a pair of scissors. Yeah, you can if you are careful how you start.
Right.
Lining it up is the getting the scissors exactly parallel to the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take your left hand and put it in front, and, of course, be very careful that you don't cut into your... But just ease across there, and you'd be amazed. But the trick to cutting with scissors is having a sharp pair.
That's right.
Yeah, it's always good to have a sharp pair. And it's even like working in the kitchen with knives.
Yeah.
Folks will say, you don't want to have sharp knives. You'll hurt yourself. Well, you're more prone to hurt yourself with a dull one.
Than you would with a sharp one.
You have to put more pressure.
Yeah.
And if it's nice
yeah.
and sharp, it just slides right through and works so much better.
That's yeah, right. if it's in the same thing applies to tools of anything. If you
sure.
if it's sharp, make it as sharp as you can, because then you don't put the pressure on it that you'd put
mm-hmm.
trying to cut with some dull, opening a paint can with a screwdriver. If you have a paint can opener, it just zips right, you know, opens
yep.
quickly.
Shaving with a dull razor.
Shaving
yeah,
with a dull
same
razor.
Kind of deal. You have to have the right tool.
Anyway, I just thought about, because, you know, it's like we've talked about before, I never had learned how to wave at anybody. Luann taught me how to wave at people, because I didn't, you know, if you've never seen that done, how would you know how to do it? You would have no idea. And opening, I was thinking about opening, I opened something this morning, I remember what it was. I thought, I wonder how many blind people have a problem with that. All right, now, what were we going to talk about before I got us off on that?
Well, while we're talking about that, let's talk about opening a carton, too.
Okay.
Do you ever have problems opening a carton of milk?
Yeah, because I don't know which side to open.
Yep.
Okay. Well, a carton of milk, if you'll look at the top part of it, on one end, it has a little ridge going. Okay. If you've got the carton facing you, and where the pointed top is going from right to left.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's say on the left-hand end, either on the left or right, on that flat face there, there'll be a little ridge that goes up. And if you don't know it's there, you're not going to find it. But if you know to look for it, you'll find it. And that's where you open it. And you open it, of course, from the end. And then you'll have to put your finger in and then pull that out. It's kind of a kind of tricky at first. Now, say it works like that. A while back I had one that was just terrible, and I thought, what's the deal with the carton deal?
Yeah.
But now that's something that I had to learn how to do after I did lose my vision, simply because I lived on a farm where we had fresh milk.
Yeah.
And at school, milk came in those little glass bottles.
Up until you were almost grown.
Well, when I went to school at TSD, of course, that's going from rural America to the big city of Nashville.
Yeah.
So there we had milk in these little cartons.
Uh-huh.
Always kept them over by the radiator so they'd be warm, didn't they?
Tennessee was better than Texas about that. We had a big walk-in refrigerator.
That's wonderful.
But that's something that I can, and I have seen people who, they want to tear those cartons right in the middle.
Okay. There's always, if you're looking at a carton of milk left to right, and the top of the, it's a little teepee, I mean, the little thing, like peak, or the, you know what I'm saying. The gables are on each end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one end is always a little thicker than the other.
Okay.
No?
I don't know.
But it has a little ridge that you can actually feel.
Yeah, it has a little ridge.
Mm-hmm. Where is this ridge?
Okay, if you're, all right, if the, well, the gables.
That's
the gables
better, you're closer to the
left
phone.
And right, okay?
Okay.
All right, on that, so what you've got in front of you is the pointy part, and so that's flattish on the sides, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there'll be a little ridge running, say, from, if you're using a clock, say, from 9 till about 2.
Okay. And it's where? It's on the front of the...
It'll be on one of the ends, on that flat end going up to the peak.
Uh-huh.
And that's where, that's the end then that you'll need to open. So you'll turn it so that your little peak, your little teepee looking thing
is,
and you'll pull it with your thumbs
open. Apart.
Uh-huh. And then you'll pull that, reach in the center, and then pull that out, and that'll create your little spout.
But now this ridge runs, that's on here, runs away from the peak toward the middle of the carton.
Mm-hmm.
From 9 to noon?
It's about a, see, if I knew what my angles were called, I could tell you that. But
well, that would be, 9 to noon would be a 45 degree angle.
Okay, we're talking about a 45 degree angle.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
No.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it
would. That'd be a 45.
Okay, so this is actually about a 45-degree angle.
Wait a minute. That would be a 90-degree angle.
Just thinking
that would be a 90-degree angle.
Okay.
If I knew my angles, I could tell you.
Well, see.
That would be.
We're not angling very
well.
We're
not angling very,
but
very well.
Anyway, it's at an angle, and then that way you just pull from the open area.
Okay, so you've looked at the peaks running left to right. You've looked at the ridges running left to right.
Mm-hmm.
You find this little perforation,
mm-hmm.
and then you turn the carton around where the ridge is running to you, away from you,
mm-hmm.
and put your thumbs on each side,
mm-hmm.
and pull, and then stick your finger down in there and pull out the thing, and it makes you a nice little spout.
At that mm-hmm. point, you have something in the shape of like a letter V that you can
yeah.
reach in the
yeah.
middle and
yeah.
just pull it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that
I have never known that. I'll have to go buy something with a
little carton of milk.
Yeah, because I never saw the ridge.
Chocolate
I looked at
milk
it,
or something. And look at the little ridge.
Yeah.
Invariably, you know, you're going to open the wrong end. You got a 50-50
yeah. mm-hmm.
a shot, and it'll work if you open the wrong end, but it works a lot better
yeah.
if
yeah.
you open.
I mean, if you open the other, if you open the correct end, it'll be pretty smooth,
yeah.
and you can, you know, you can drink right directly from the carton.
Yeah, it tears off evenly at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. I know when I went to the Texas, you know, talking about the schools, Texas School for the Blind here, when I first, my first years of going to school here, we had the milk, that was in the big, that they were like big metal pitchers.
Uh-huh.
They were kind of neat because the milk was always real cold in
right.
those. But then in later years, you know, we graduated up to the little,
yeah.
the little what are they, you know,
yeah.
6 ounce, 8 ounce cartons or whatever, that, and they're exactly what you're talking about.
Well, we had those little cartons at night. We'd take those, you know, get a case of those and take them to the dorm, and that was after you had your bath, you had a little snack. So
yeah.
we always had milk and something.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches we had.
Well, I don't think we got that much, but, but anyway.
Speaking of peanut butter and jelly, Luann
uh-huh.
found some peanut butter and jelly crackers.
Really?
That like they're like cheese crackers, except I mean they're like little peanut butter crackers that
yeah.
you buy
yeah.
in a little long package where there's, I think there's three little stacks of them, and the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And these were peanut butter and jelly, and they were knocked out.
Sounds good.
Man, they
Sounds
were.
Sounds good
know?
To me.
So
yeah.
I guess that's the coming. We look to her for things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's the
yeah.
coming deal. Is, peanut butter and jelly crackers. All right, opening milk carton. See, you know, a lot of folks don't think about that, but that's something that improves your ability as a blind person to look. I mean, it's not necessary that you hide your blindness or you try to pretend you're not blind, but the more things you can do independently, the better you will look to a prospective employer, a
right.
prospective mate, anybody who deals with you, if you have to, you know, the poor, dumb SOB can't even open a carton of milk.
Yeah.
You know, you just look better. You feel more independent, thus you have more confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
Thank
right.
you. Thank you, Phil, for that nice lecture. All right. Go ahead. All right, Susie, what's next? What else?
Well, I really, when, since we were on clothes last week, marking colors and things.
Yeah.
And the lady on the site, I think, I can't remember what her name is, but she did a wonderful job of describing ironing, because some people had wondered about that.
Yeah, I remember that post.
Yeah, she did a wonderful job. So
I didn't see that.
Try that, but doing laundry
is something everybody has to do.
Right. And I, in conversation with someone the other day, he was saying that he has three laundry hampers that he has just lined up. He lives by himself. He's totally blind, and he takes
mm-hmm.
care of his laundry and stuff. And he said that when he takes off his clothes, that he puts them in the, you know, the right laundry hamper, and that way he doesn't have to sort his clothes when he gets ready to do his laundry.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, one's dark clothes, one's, you know, light clothes, and one's whatever.
Uh-huh.
So he just takes them off, and he said that's just a whole lot easier. And it is.
And even if you didn't have three laundry hampers, you could use three garbage bags.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or three anything.
You know, like these kitchen-sized trash cans or whatever.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you'd have to know, what would he put, like underwear and socks in one? And I mean, you'd have to know what not to wash with what before you'd know.
Sure. But he probably, you'd put your underwear and socks in one if your socks happen to be white. And if your socks happen to be black, then you would put them in with the dark clothes. And that way, you know, he would know what kind of shoes he had on as to what kind of socks he was wearing. You know, it starts out with organization from the first. So if you have it from the front, then you can keep it up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So a lot of people keep, you know, dark socks in one drawer and light white socks in another drawer. So you know, if you're getting dark socks out to wear with dark shoes, then when you come in, you know these dark socks go in there. But in some cases, you have even white crew socks and black crew socks, and they will feel just alike.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it would be disaster if they were washed together. I mean, if you wanted them to look nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're fashion conscious and care, as opposed to Don Shaw and I, who just... Of course, we work at home. We don't have to. Don work has an out job, and when you got this outside job, you went and bought yourself some.
I did, yeah. Went and bought some dressier type clothes that I needed to wear. And I really do try to make an effort, really, to try to take care of them because they're so expensive that I want to try to make them at least last for a while.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
he has an out in the public job as opposed to me, who's running around in shorts and flip-flops.
It's important. Yeah, I agree that the care and the way you wash and take things to the laundry will make a big difference in the way that things will last.
Sure it will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does. But
initially you have to get some site person to tell you these socks are this color or these socks are this color. But once that's done, you should be able to take it from there.
Or they may even be a bit different in the shape or the style of them. You know? And so that way, organization from the front end.
But you know, I match socks a lot of times. You can tell. Now, sometimes I'll miss, but you can tell by the tops of socks.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have little ribs.
That's right.
Some of them don't have little ribs. Some of them have ribs, but they're different.
Yeah.
And some of them have just a little band that runs around the top. Some of them, the ribs are longer.
Yeah, they are.
And me being an organized person, and Phil and me have talked about this subject before, and me being organized, like if I have socks that are the same color even but have like different ribs on the top, I'll always match the ones that the ribs go together rather than having one like with a short rib and a long one rib on the other.
I used to wear myself out sorting socks. And the bad part was my gang wore tube socks that had these color bands around the top.
Yeah.
And for a little while, I could tell the color, and then after a while, all the colors ran together.
Yeah.
And so finally, I would just have one laundry basket, and I'd throw all the socks in them, and I'd say, okay, y'all sort.
Yeah.
So y'all socks, sort them.
Yeah, because the kids could see, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I said, if you all wanted sorted socks, you sort them yourself.
Sort them yourself.
This is where the buck stops here.
You had that covered, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, I did. when my son was in kindergarten, he had these little outfits that I had all matched up, and he had one little outfit that had navy knee socks with a blue stripe at the top, and his shorts were navy, and you know the shirt had the blue and the light blue and the navy in it. And then he had another pair that were the socks were brown with tan around the top. Well, I mean, he got ready that morning. He went to school. He got home. That was the maddest little boy I have ever seen. And he said, "You didn't match my socks right. I had on one blue sock and one brown sock. Of course, he didn't know that until he got on the playground and one of the kids said something about it.
Someone pointed it out.
Oh, yeah. Man, he was so mad. And I said, sweetheart, you can match your own socks.
Mommy really can't see.
Because I had looked and looked and looked at them, and I just could not tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and they didn't. We didn't have color identifiers then, did we?
No, we didn't.
We do now.
We didn't.
Do you have one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do.
It doesn't always work real well, but if anyone is going to buy one, I recommend they buy it from Kobel. Isn't that where you got your talking? Some people get talking tape measures from there, but they're much more, much less expensive.
Really?
And I understand that they are much better.
You mean they're cheaper than you know who?
Well, they're cheaper than the one I originally got. Because the one I originally got was from, well, I don't know if it was American Printing House or...
I thought nobody...
AFB or whatever. Oh, we don't talk about them.
Nobody... you can talk about AFB if you want to.
No, no.
You can talk about anything you want to talk about. We don't care.
Yeah.
But anyway, Blind My Smart, I thought they undercut everybody.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if he has them or not.
We'll have him on in a couple weeks. We'll ask him. We're going to take a little break and come back and talk about what? Talk
about wash clothes.
Going to wash clothes, which is something everybody's
well,
got to do.
Well, we're going
to
wash clothes and make sure you can read that, know your setting.
Good subject.
All right. Back in just a second, Susie Barnes is our guest. I'm Phil Parr. Don Shaw is here, and we're doing a little show we call The Blind Handyman. Hang on. Be right back.
Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Well, as most of you know, I'm a radio nut and used to, well, as a kid, I'd go to a radio station and I always felt kind of closer to the people doing the radio show if I had been in the physical surroundings where they were actually doing the radio show. And I know that's true of you, Susie. You've been to the studio, so you just feel like you know us a little better, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sit right here at this piano and
right here and seen everything.
Played some live music
have you
for us.
The piano yet?
Have I fixed it?
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Well, you need a big screw to put the
pedals. Oh, the pedals. No,
old pedals.
I've been doing other things. As I said, I've been knitting a car out of steel wool, and I translated the Gideon Bible into pig Latin.
Yeah.
So I guess not. Anyway, let's talk about something substantive. I'm having a hard time hearing you for some reason. Are you up nice and close to your phone?
Oh, is that better?
That's much better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's much better. You'll notice.
All you have to do is ask.
You'll notice the difference when you hear it on the show. You'll go, geez, you know. Because last time you said you had a terrible phone. I've got to get a new phone, yeah.
Well, I do have to get a new phone.
That's much better, though.
It is.
Much better.
All right.
Let's talk about washing clothes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about doing laundry. I know a lot of folks, well, we have problems setting the settings because they are not tactile normally. If you're lucky, you can get a washer that has a real knob on it instead of just the little slick selector things.
Yeah, that you just see something behind there and you push where the icon is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are hard.
Yeah, they are hard. Now, we have worked on my daughter's, and let's see, I think we have put a marking on a dial and then put like a little marking on the place, the combination of buttons that I need to push, you know,
mm-hmm.
the little slicky things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometime when I'm there, we just do a quick fix, which may be a little bit of scotch tape that, you know, you put a little crease on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just stick that on, and
which works fine temporarily.
That's a good temporary thing. If you want to make it a little bit more permanent, you can use easy things like Dymo tape or Lou Ann uses these wonderful little Velcro adhesive back dots that are wonderful for things.
She does. Where did you see those? Where did I have those on?
Well, she gave me some to put on my door on the cruise so I could find my door.
Okay.
That's a neat idea.
And she had used those to mark your Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, she did.
That's one of the markings that she used on Rubik's Cube.
That's right. She made her shoes. But, like, one of the things you used to that was really good that you used to buy was this stuff called Highmarks. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't really like it because I don't like that big orange globby. But that stuff does, I tell you what, works equally as well if you just need the tactile markings.
Yeah.
Is Elmer's glue.
Would work just as well.
Yeah.
Woodworking Elmer's glue works just as well, if not better.
And it's probably, I can't use Highmarks because it's too thin when it comes out of the tube. I have to get somebody else to do it.
Right.
But I've got like my board has 32 slides on it, 32 mm-hmm. inputs.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a mark on the 8th one, mm-hmm. the 16th one, and the 24th one. So if I want to move something channel 9, I can slide my hand real quick, and now I'm on channel 9. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Channel 9 in my hand. I mean,
right.
I can find without counting. 1, 2, 3, you know.
Oh, sure.
I can slide my hand to that 8 and go to channel, you know.
Yeah.
So it makes it easier to find. And there's that, Highmarks is not, when we first started buying it, it was a thick kind of stuff like Elmer's glue.
Uh-huh.
Now it's kind of thin, runny, I don't know what the hell it is now, but it's, anyway.
Well, the Elmer's glue works really, really well, and get the woodworking type, you know,
uh-huh.
the thick.
Yeah.
And it makes better dots than the Highmarks does, plus it's clear.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
And that way, if a person is, for example, is renting an apartment.
Yeah.
And then when you leave, you can just take a knife and just
scrape it off.
Pop that off.
Are you vacuuming?
Whereas the Highmark stains.
What am I hearing running in the background?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. It's the vacuum cleaner.
Is your housekeeper there?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not bothering me. I just wondered, is she vacuuming while she's talking to us?
Uh-huh.
That'd be a good trick.
It would, wouldn't it?
Huh?
It's not bothering us.
I can close the door.
Unless you can't hear, I guess. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so your housekeeper's there. Mm-hmm. Tell her not to move anything.
Oh, I don't care. As long as she gets this clean, I'll...
Boy, I do. I tell Debbie every week, Debbie, if I put it there, just leave it there. Dust around it.
Well, no, sometimes she does leave things, and I wish she would put them away.
Yeah.
Anyway, that Elmer's glue things works good. And then those little, like I say, the little adhesive Velcro things work well because you can use one for represent hot or another one for cold or anyway.
Yeah, because they're male and female.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also, a good pocket knife is just an awfully good thing to have around because you can notch dials with a pocket knife.
You could. You could make a notch.
My dad was a notcher from way back.
Yeah.
My radio dial had a notch on it. But if you're not a pocket knife thing, then one of those, what do you call those files that are?
A rat tail file.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got one, and that's what I use to notch.
Yeah.
That's what I use to notch.
That works really, really well for notching.
Just slip the knob off, put the notch in it, put it back on.
Well, you don't even have to take the knob off.
No, I guess you wouldn't.
But I had an experience, well, it was a very costly experience, about, 2000 when I moved to Knoxville and I bought a washer and dryer.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this little adaptive kit from Whirlpool with the Braille labels that you put on, and it had this special knob to put on my washing machine, and it didn't, my brother told me it didn't. Fit. Well, I thought he just didn't want to do it because I was accustomed to people telling me that something didn't work when they didn't want to do it. So I tried taking it off and ended up breaking the spindle. So that ended up costing me over $100 to have that fixed.
So you were going to put this knob on your washing machine whether it fit or not.
I'm having to carry her while I'm vacuuming it, so this is going to leave her right here.
Okay. All right.
Is that great? Is that that's what's her name?
What's her name?
Yeah.
Her name is Julie.
Oh.
My little girl here.
All right, Julie.
My grandmother twice a month for about an hour.
Oh, this is your granddaughter?
No, she's not mine.
Oh.
She's the housekeeper's little girl.
The housekeeper's little girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean the girl who does
the
cleaning for me.
Who comes in and cleans.
Anyway, the thing about this was this particular brand of appliance. The knob, the clear part, just floats round and round and round.
Yeah.
And, of course, you couldn't keep that, too. Well, when he replaced it, I told him why I had broken it, because he was so apologetic to tell me how much it was going to cost me. And I said, well, I don't have any choice. I've got to have it. And I broke it myself. It's my own fault. So he took a, he glued that plastic part, the underneath, to the top plastic part,
mm-hmm.
so it wouldn't go. And then he took a soldering gun and made a little...
And burned a little notch.
Burned a little hole there.
Yeah.
So I could feel it. And he said, now, I don't want to mess your stuff up so it doesn't look nice. You come in here, and that's what he fixed it with.
Yeah. But, you know, before we get away from Highmarks, I want to mention this one thing. Highmarks comes in different colors. Why? If you're blind, you won't know anyway.
No. Well, the Highmarks is, the color thing is for people who have low vision. They can't see the regular markings, but they can see that bright marking.
Oh, I forget about those folks who have low vision.
Yeah.
I forgot about
there
that.
Are degrees of blindness, you know.
I know. I forget about it.
Something that works really well is this lady, she used buttons and glued little buttons at the different settings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, well, this is as easy as can be. I just put some glue, super glue, on the back of them and just pop them on there.
Yeah.
That is an easy fix.
Sure,
yeah.
It would be.
And, you know, it was a nice-looking little fix.
Yeah.
And, you know, like my microwave, you don't need a knob. You don't need a button on everything. Like, my microwave goes straight across. I got you. Goes straight across 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. So I have a mark on the 1 and a mark on the 0. And I know that the 5 is going to be above the 0. And you can just kind of, you can, you know the space. And so you can, you know, I don't have a button on everything. But I, if I want it on 30 seconds, I can find the 3 and the 0 easy enough.
Yeah. Or even if you just had it on the 5, you know, like your telephone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Your
that
push
would work.
Button thing. So whatever works best for you.
And we'd sure be open to suggestions if you got something that works good for you. You know, we like to give as well as we get. We like to learn from from folks who might have
it. Most of your companies, if you will call their disability hotline.
Yeah.
You might have to call, if you have a General Electric, call General Electric, and you may have to call 3 or 4 people, but find out what their hotline number is. And most of them have the overlays.
Yeah, overlay templates for things.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
If you happen to read Braille, you really do like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by if you happen to read Braille?
I
read enough to label stuff. Now, come on, you know. I can do that. At least I can do that. All right. Well, we're out of time, Susie.
Okay.
So I guess we'll go.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. And if you have ideas of things that you would like for us to talk about, be sure to email us. You can just send the Don Shaw's email address. What is your email address? I've forgotten again.
Yeah, just send n5gbi@cox.net, and I will pass it on to Miss Susie or Phil or whoever it goes to.
Phil@philparr.net will
and
do you also.
And if you want to send me some ideas, SusanBarnes1@comcast.net.
SusanBarnes1@comcast.net.
That's a pretty easy
Day. Yeah, it is.
Thanks, Susie. We'll
Thanks
see you.
Much.
I'll talk to you in a day or two, and we'll see you back on the Handyman Show in a month.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Donald. Maybe we'll get a full quorum next week.
Yeah, maybe we will.
It could happen.
Lucky.
It could happen.
In the realm of possibility.
Like I said,
anyway.
I was almost out of beer this week anyway. I'm glad that didn't come. Well, thank you, sir, and I'll see you next week, if not before.
All right.
I'm Phil Parr. He said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.